Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef. Pasture-raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
Okay, this is Greenhorns Radio, and this is Severin. I'm your host. I'm here to welcome you to another episode of Greenhorns Radio, where we will talk about a wonderful project happening here in the Hudson Valley, a hyper-local, well, I guess it's an anthropology program, project run by Anna and Ginny, and they're both on the line today. Anna, do you want to start by introducing the organization that you work for?
Sure. I work for the Hawthorne Valley Farmscape Ecology Program, and we are a small research and outreach program located at Hawthorne Valley, which also has a farm component, and we do sort of original research about the agricultural landscape, its ecology, history, culture, and thinking about it in its sort of past, present, and looking towards the future.
And so this farmscape ecology is really thinking very holistically about all the relationships that make agriculture thrive. And so you, coming with an anthropology background and working with Ginny, your approach was to look at the narrative of this young farmer phenomenon that's going on. Do you want to explain the overlay of ecology and anthropology, or what drove that project? And then we'll talk to Ginny also.
Sure. I should mention my colleagues are both biologists, and I do come from a social science background. So just as you said, we're trying to integrate that holistic understanding of the landscape. And this project came from wanting to understand a little bit better the stories of new farmers. We're calling it the New Farmer Narrative Project, and trying to understand the journeys people are taking into agriculture, and sort of from that narrative perspective, hearing their voices. So that's kind of the way that we came into this project, and we sort of think of it as all weaving together the biological research and the social science research in helping understand our current landscape.
And then, Ginny, you're coming to this project as a partner and teammate straight out of your apprenticeship experience at Hawthorne Valley. Do you want to talk about where you came to, how you came to that apprenticeship, and now that you've done the apprenticeship and now you've been working on this anthropology narrative, where you're going next and how this is shaping your life?
Sure. In college, I actually studied agriculture and the environment, among other things. And then out of college, I didn't really know where I wanted to take that exactly, but I sort of happened upon farm apprenticing and fell in love with farming, and I apprenticed for a couple of years. And then my second apprenticeship was at Hawthorne Valley, and I met Anna and our other colleagues at Farmscape Ecology, and I found their research really inspiring, and I was really excited just being in the Hudson Valley, which is a pretty vibrant place for young farmers. I was really inspired by sort of the movement I've seen going on while I've been living here, and I felt like it was something that really needed, those stories should be documented. And so that's sort of how I got involved with doing this project with Anna. And I'm hoping to continue sort of in this vein. In the fall, I'm going to be at the University of Wisconsin studying agroecology, but working for a program that works for beginning farmers, and hoping to do some more work with beginning farmers, hopefully incorporating storytelling in a similar way. So that's sort of where I'm hoping to take this.
I can't hear. Hey, Jack, I don't hear Ginny. She stopped talking.
Can you hear me now, Severine?
No. Okay, nothing is lost. Everything we've done so far has been great.
Good.
I can't hear Jenny.
You cannot hear
her? Hi. Now I hear you, but I don't hear Jenny. Wait, Jenny talked.
Can you hear me, Severin?
I hear her again. So I'm going to ask the next question. You go that way, I'll go this way. Okay, so there you are. You're in the Hudson Valley. Everyone's excited and thinking holistically and are approaching this phenomena of these many young farmers and this agricultural landscape with very good attitude. But tell us, firstly, what is the landscape of the Hudson Valley? What is the farming that's going on here? And what kinds of farms are these young and new entry farmers starting here in the Hudson Valley?
Well, our program focuses mainly on Columbia County, so that's what I can speak best to. There's quite a diversity of different types of farms in Columbia County, over 500, and we have sort of this phenomenon of a lot of new smaller farms starting, and those tend to be focused on either sort of market vegetables or grass-based livestock. And so that's a lot of the types of farms that the new farmers that we spoke to and surveyed were starting up here. But there's a rich history of different types of agriculture going back hundreds of years. So we have still a lot of diversity in terms of the types of farming in the county.
And so you're talking about the new farmer narrative as told by the voices of the new farmers. What is your sense of the kind of current narrative, or what are the narratives that are floating around about the future of farming in the valley? What is your goal that people will learn when they see the narratives coming right out of the mouth of the new farmers?
Well, I think one of the major motivations for the project was to help raise awareness that there are these many different new narratives coming up, and I think that it's sort of often people think of agriculture as a vocation in decline, and in this area in the past, you know, decade or so, there's really been an increase in new farms. So just being able to share that through the voices of people who are starting farms, that story that farms, that people are coming to this and starting farms is part of, you know, the excitement and what we want it to be able to communicate. What was your other question?
Well, I think you answered it, and I mean the kind of follow up to that is, and something I've experienced, you know, a lot of with Greenhorns is, so there's a phenomena. It's happening. Their data is in. We have numbers. We have whatever, more than 100 radio interviews here on Greenhorns. We had 5,000 sign ups through our map and through the Greenhorns Network. We have surveyed, you know, 1,300 people through National Young Farmers Coalition. We've seen an uptick in the USDA census numbers. The community shows up at events and workshops. Their sign-ups at the beginning farmer and rancher programs are high and rising, et cetera, et cetera. So what's next? What do we want to ensure happens that these farmers that you've been speaking to here in Columbia County are able to succeed? What are the themes that you've noticed? What are the themes of their struggle, and what have been strategies that they have employed? Maybe Jenny, you want to hit a couple of those, and then jump back in.
Sure, I'll take that one. So we put out a survey just of the farmers in this immediate area in Columbia County and surrounding areas, in addition to doing our interviews for the narratives. And some similar things came up about obstacles, both in the interviews and the surveys, and there are things that have come up in nationwide surveys as well. Access to capital and credit and land and health insurance was a big thing that came up a lot. Here particularly, I think the land thing is really interesting. You know, land is expensive here, as in many other places, but particularly, you know, that's influenced by New York City here. But there's an organization called the Columbia Land Conservancy that does work in this county that facilitates landowner and farmer matching. And so that's a resource that came up a lot that people were accessing. But there is still, you know, some issues with leasing and people wanting some more security than a lot of times happens with leasing. And I think a theme that came up a lot with money was the issue of debt. And people took some different approaches to like how they were thinking about debt. But a lot of people were really kind of avoiding it at all costs, which I think comes up a lot, especially in our generation with all of the student debt, and people are really wary of that. But they also talked about how it was really hard to get operations going when they didn't have access to much capital that, you know, to be able to work efficiently and have all the right equipment and infrastructure that they needed. That was a big issue for them.
If I could just add in there, we wanted to share a few of the actual quotes from our interviews because hearing those voices is part of, you know, what is so, we hope, kind of powerful about the project. So I have a quote that is sort of related to what Jenny was talking about, and this is a new farmer, and they said, "I am going into debt for the first time right now because I have this particular picture that I want to get to quickly instead of slowly. Before, as soon as there was a little bit of profit, then that on something, incremental growth, and now I'm a little bit ready to hit the ground running more." So that was the example of a new farmer who did decide to go into debt, and it was that idea of wanting to not be sort of handicapped by not being able to start at the speed that was needed for the new farm business.
So these are real world decisions that are being made and taken by individuals here in this valley, and I think it's important to talk a little bit about the kinds of risks, like the level of the risks that people are taking. Like, how quickly are people moving in to farming from other careers, and how big are they getting? You know, how fast is this happening?
I would say it was pretty variable. I mean, we interviewed 14 farmers and 14 farms, 20 farmers, and of those, you know, there were some people that were working part time or full time, doing something else, and sort of financing their business in the beginning that way, and so they were doing that for a number of years, and other people, even with student debt and other things, were really hitting the ground running, starting full time and in farming, and so that was there isn't sort of like a one size fits all approach, I think, but it was really, I think that's a really pertinent issue that Anna and I saw come up a lot, is this sort of balance between trying to finance your farm. A lot of people were financing through savings that they had from other careers or by working part-time while they're starting their farms. And I think that in some cases can handicap farmers a little bit with their learning, that that they don't necessarily then have the time to have really, you know, immersive, like, apprenticeship experiences if they're sort of committed elsewhere. And so I think that's especially difficult with farming because it does take so long to really develop those skills and that knowledge base. So that was something we saw come up a lot.
And in the survey as well, we found that kind of the majority of the people, correct me if I'm wrong, Denny, but we're not sort of getting the majority of their household income from the farm. So there is that issue as well, that there are people still very much financing through multiple streams, not just the farm.
Yeah, that was right. I think it was a little over a third. We're only getting less than 25% of their income from their farm.
So it matters what your off-farm job is. It matters if you've been able to wangle your way into a good farmer's education while also having some marketable rural living compatible skills, a skill set that could yield you another income, either a part-time income or a partner, a strategic or life partner with those skills and income potential in order to build the infrastructure that it takes. And let's maybe talk a little bit more about the infrastructure part, because as we look out over the landscape of Columbia County, we see beautiful fields and really wonderful soil and a lot of infrastructure that was built for dairy. How does the infrastructure that these new farmers are building differ? And maybe you could describe, use another one of your case studies and talk about, what does that mean in terms of the stuff on the ground?
Well, I think that for a lot of the types of farms, it's less infrastructure for sure than dairy, and especially with the vegetables. And a lot of people spoke actually about the need to build movable infrastructure because they were on leased land, and a lot of the farmers we talked to were on leased land, over half. So the idea of having light, movable infrastructure that you could take with you if you needed to move to a different piece of land was something that came up a lot. And so if you think of what that means, it translates into greenhouses or other sort of types of sort of infrastructure that can be disassembled and taken somewhere else, not necessarily big barns or those sorts of other investments.
And I would add also, in addition to infrastructure, we heard a lot from farmers that their management practices, how they were treating their soil, was really was impacted in some way by their leasing situation. That the cover crop seed is expensive and manure is expensive, and it was a sort of a strategic decision that they would prefer to be managing their land perhaps differently, but that their long-term security was a factor in how they were dealing with those questions.
And just related to what Denny was saying, the size of the land that people had available also was an impact. Sometimes people didn't have the ability to sort of rotate crops, for example, in the way that they would have wished, because they didn't have, sufficient land base to do that on.
So these are some of the limitations and liabilities of leasing. And leasing is obviously the usual first step for people who are coming into entrepreneurship. And some people are able to go beyond leasing and find either lending or land trusts or combinations of magic to get ownership of their farm and their farm infrastructure. But when you are thinking in terms of the outreach that you're going to do around this project and taking it to all the libraries around the county and to the public schools, and you're screening Greenhorns and you're screening Small Farm Rising, and you're really doing a wonderful community grassroots outreach effort to get these stories out, what will be some of the messages that you bring to these agricultural communities of what it's going to take to ensure that not only will these 15 profiled farmers succeed, but those who will follow their footsteps and hope to inherit a working agricultural economy here in Columbia County.
Well, thank you for bringing up the outreach. I, yes, wanted to follow up and mention that we are, part of the project is focused on sharing the stories, as you said, through a traveling exhibit for the next 4 or 5 months and bringing it into the communities through libraries. And I think that sort of that with that goal, we're trying to just let kind of people interact with new farms. Having events at the different libraries in which we bring new farmers in is a big part of that, and have people have that experience of kind of understanding behind the scenes a little bit of what it takes to start a farm and what people are expressing about that experience. I think that there's various types of community support that people mentioned in the interviews that is already there for sure, and other types of support that perhaps needs to be pulled in more together, or resources that new farmers would love to know about. That was mentioned a lot, the existence of resources already, but just not knowing how to access them. So those are some of the kind of supportive elements, and of course, you know, patronizing new and all farms in communities that people spoke about.
Yeah, and I would just emphasize that that like sort of the sense that I got out of this project and just in terms of how it made me think about the future of farming in this area is, I mean, there's just a really profound energy around this, and you know, people are really excited about farming and farming for the rest of their lives, and you could tell from every interview that this was something that was really like core to the being of these people, but that there are some really serious challenges there as well, that I think that if the community hears these stories, that they'll see the importance of addressing them as well, and because these stories really are very inspiring, and I hope that other people see that too. And I think that they have and they will.
So let's go straight to the nuts and the bolts. For those of you who are listening in the WGXC listening area, when can we show up and read these beautiful placards and see the beautiful photos and watch movies and listen to speakers, and will there be food?
Well, let me give you a little bit of an overview of the library and other venue sort of tour that the exhibit is going to make. The exhibit is sort of a number of panels with the different profiles of the new farmers that we interviewed, and larger issues and a map of all the new farms that we know about in the area. And it's moving between libraries. It's right now in Chatham at the Chatham Library, and it'll be there until June 2nd. It'll move from there to the Rogin Library, and it is going to kind of continue to travel around the area, and the sort of full list is perhaps best accessed on our website, www.hawthornvalleyfarm.org /FEP. And then /new farmer. So it's a long web address, but that's sort of the overall tour. And then as Severin mentioned, we'll be having these different events at each. And upcoming, there will be this Saturday at the Chatham Library at 6:30, a film showing of the Greenhorns with Severin present, and hopefully a chance to interact with some of the new farmers in that part of the county. And then that will be followed on Monday, June 4th, by a talk that we'll be giving about the project at the Rogin Library in Hillsdale area. And that will be at 7 p.m. And then a couple of weeks down the the road in June 18th, there will be another film showing at the New Lebanon Library, A Small Farm Rising, a documentary film about three first-generation farmers, and that will be at 7 p.m. And all of the events will hopefully involve the public getting to meet and interact with new farmers from those areas and ask questions and hear a little bit about their journeys in their own voice, as well as welcoming the event. And there will be varying levels of reception, like food, local food, at some of the different events. We haven't completely figured out all of those details.
Now, I know that we're getting to the end of our half-hour period here, but why did you choose to do it with libraries? And what is the anthropology reason or the community reason for you to choose this hyper-local format and these institutions that don't necessarily get super amounts of traffic to put this word out?
Well, that's a great question. We were trying to find sort of central, public, neutral locations that people could, you know, that have a meaningful role in the community, and libraries really are one of those places. And they also are a place that, you know, has the ability to, you know, capacity to host an exhibit of this size. Often libraries have exhibits. And then the other reason is that there's a lot of text in the exhibit, a lot of reading of their direct quotes from new farmers, and it's something that you can't necessarily take in all at once. So the idea of having something that people, as they go in and out of the library, can maybe read, you know, a few quotes, read one panel, take it in as they, you know, are kind of moving through their life. We wanted it to be very integrated into that flow and really reach people who might not normally come to something that's more specifically agriculturally focused, either as a venue or as an event.
So it's beautiful. It's a beautiful project, and you'll meet Anna and Ginny at these events, and then Ginny will go off to graduate school and get a master's degree in... What are you doing your degree in, Ginny, and are you committed for the rest of your life to sustainable agriculture?
The degree is in agroecology, and I certainly am committed to sustainable agriculture for the rest of my life, and I hope to be doing this sort of advocacy work around new farmers, as well as being a new farmer myself. I think that both the practical as well as the projects like this will be a part of my life in the future.
So as you can hear, things are going very well here in the Hudson Valley and in Columbia County particularly. The team is growing. There are new advocates, new farmers, new landscapes opening up, and the opportunity is here. We have, this is a big country here, America. Oh, there's a lot of land. You've got the willpower. I can tell you it's a very compelling team you'll be working with. So everyone can go and just Google the New Farmer Narrative Project, or you find it off of the Hawthorne Valley site. Come along to the events. I'll see you on Friday, June 2nd, at the Chatham Library for a free screening of the Greenhorns accompanied by these new narratives, which will move all around the county. Okie dokie. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thanks, Severin.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.